with men. Power with God and favor with men. Let's read. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men." Another rendering of that is power with God and favor with men. "And hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he said, blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Praise God. It's a wonderful, wonderful account in the book of Genesis and in the life of Jacob. In this story, in Genesis 32, Jacob has a name change. He goes from Jacob to Israel. God changes his name. There's several significant times in the scripture when God changed a man's name. Of course, names had a lot more significance in the Old Testament and in the Scripture than many times they do today. But his name change was not just something, was not just a changing of the name that he was to be called, but his name literally described who he was. And so we know that Jacob is the twin brother of Esau, born to Isaac. And when he was born, he was the second of the twins that was born. First, Esau was born, and then comes Jacob. The Bible says that he is holding on to the heel of his brother as he is being born. And so that's how he gets his name, because the name Jacob literally means heel catcher, heel catcher. And it just means that he was, from birth, taking advantage of every opportunity that he had. That he was self-serving. He was a supplanter. Everything was about him. Everything was about a way to advantage himself. Esau was taken advantage of a number of times by his brother, Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver, and one, the word supplanter just means to take advantage. That's what he did all the days of his life. It became his identity. It became who he was from his birth. You remember that Esau was a hunter. He came home from a long hunt. He starved to death. The Bible says he was faint when he comes back to his home. And Jacob has prepared a big bowl of lentils, a big bowl of porridge. So he uses that opportunity, knowing that his brother is starving, to trade out his birthright. And Esau said, "Well, what good is my birthright going to be if I starve to death?" And so he said, "Okay, let's make the deal." And so Jacob is always taking advantage of Esau. Same thing is true whenever their father Isaac is almost dying. He's very old. He can't see. He's very feeble, very weak. And he goes in and he deceives his own father and tells his father that he's the firstborn, Esau. And you know the story. It's a familiar story, how that he takes advantage of the situation in order to gain and to steal the birthright. You see, Jacob was like you and me. He was born in sin. All of us were born sinners, right? All born sinners. You notice it pretty quick. Little children, even little babies, pretty quickly, you can see them with that nature to resist, that nature to rebel against their parents or any authority for that matter. They learn how to say no really, really quick. They resist authority. I was just thinking about Erica, our oldest daughter. I know it's going to be hard for y'all to believe this because she's like almost perfect now. Not really. But she's close. She's close. When she was very, very little, she came into the room with a ruler in her hand, and she slapped me on the hands with that ruler. And Marcia said, "You need to say you're sorry." And she said, "I'm not sorry." And so, if I remember right, Marcia paddled her for that. Was it me? I did it. Okay. I can't believe I would actually spank her, but she's so good. But apparently I did the spanking. I spanked her. And then through her tears, we thought, you know, she's going to be repentant. And we said, "Erica, say you're sorry." And she said it again, "I'm not sorry." So we had a little confrontation. I don't know how long that it took, but we kept in that confrontation. We found out really quickly that nature, the psalmist David said, you know, we were born in iniquity, shapen in iniquity, he said in Psalm 51. "And in sin did my mother conceive me." We all have that sinful nature. Jacob had that nature to go against God and to do wrong. And I know that that's just who he was. That's what he was identified as. He's Jacob, the deceiver, Jacob. And you know how that some folks will say that? "Oh, I can't help it. I'm just a Jarvis. I've got temper." Or, "I can't help it. I'm just a Gilpin. This is the way we are." "I can't help it. I'm just a Zocco. That's just the way Zoccos are." Or, "Parkers. That's just the way us Parkers are. We can't really help ourselves." Not a good excuse. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Because overriding all of that nature of our sinful nature is the fact that Jesus can come into your life and can change you and can transform you into make you into what you were not. And that's what this story is all about in the life of Jacob, because he was a deceiver and a liar, did a lot of really bad things. But the Lord, God, he doesn't see what we are. He sees the potential of what we could become. Thank God for the grace of God that he doesn't see us for what we are, but he sees us for who we can be if we allow him to change our life. Amen. I've heard people say, I just can't go to church. I can't serve the Lord. That's just not who I am. I understand, but you need to have an encounter with Jesus. You need your life turned around by the power of the Spirit of God. You need to come to him and allow him to change your life. The Bible says that after he deceived his father, that they sent him out and he left from there. He gets out a certain distance, and that night he makes him a bed with his pillows were stones. And during the night he has the dream of heaven opening and a ladder between heaven and earth, and angels ascending and descending in his dream. He recognized when he woke up that surely I am in the presence of God. Surely this is the place. He recognized that he had an encounter with the Lord, that even though Jacob in his nature was wicked and evil, that God still wanted to communicate with him and still wanted to fellowship with him and wanted to open up heaven to him and to visit him in that circumstance of his life. So then he goes on to his uncle Laban, and there's too much of the story for me to get into all the details, but I'll just say this. He spends 20 plus years there with his uncle Laban, and there he comes away with two wives and 11 sons and a big family. He comes away wealthy with all kinds of flocks and herds, and he is greatly blessed as he leaves the house of his uncle Laban. He is going back home because he was commanded of the Lord to return back to his homeland. And a lot of stuff in that story, and I won't take the time for that. But then he comes and he knows that he's going to encounter Esau. He recognizes that. He knows if I go back as God is commanding me to go back to my homeland, I've got to face Esau. And he was fearful of facing him. So he sent messengers ahead with all these animals and gifts and to try to appease him. He was trying to take care of the problem that he had with Esau. But the Bible says that the messengers came back and said, Esau's coming. He's coming to see you, and he's bringing 400 of his men with him. And so the Bible says that Jacob is very afraid. He's very distressed over what is going to happen. He believes that Esau wants to kill him. He wants to kill his wife and his family. He wants to wipe his entire family out. Esau, he believes that Esau wants back what he has stolen, the birthright. And he wants to kill all of his family, and they all have to be wiped out for him to be able to get that birthright back. And so Jacob is fearful of what is getting ready to happen to him. He's so fearful that he divides his family into two groups and says, you go that direction and you go that direction. That way, if they kill half of us, they'll still be a part of my family and my lineage that will survive all of this. I mean, this was a crisis in Jacob's life. And Jacob is all caught up in the fact that Esau is coming, and his focus is on Esau's coming after me. Esau's going to kill me. Esau's going to destroy my family and destroy my lineage. And he was concerned. The Bible says in verse 7, he was greatly afraid and distressed. And knowing that all of this was going to happen. You see, here's the problem, though. Jacob was focused on Esau as his problem, but God wanted him to focus upon himself. Isn't it true that many times we have all kinds of issues and problems and needs, and we see, well, that's my problem, and that's my situation, or that person is my problem, or that, and we see all these peripheral things as the real problem, but God says, no, the real problem is not all of that. The real problem is you. Amen. The real problem here is Jacob. Jacob had to deal with Jacob in this situation. His problem was himself. And I believe that God works in our lives through a lot of different circumstances. There are all kinds of problems and things that we face. Sometimes we face it over and over again because God is trying to bring us to that place, that crisis of our life that we'll finally say, okay, Lord, the real problem here is me. The real issue is me. I'm the one. I need to get prayed through. I need to allow you to do a work in me and change me. It's so easy to see all kinds of problems in other people. If this would get straightened out, then I can get all this problem worked out. If that person, and you know, sometimes people who have continual conflicts with people should finally wake up and realize, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem here. And most of the time, you are the problem. And I am the problem. And if I can get myself lined out and myself in right standing with the Lord. And so now comes the wrestling match that Jacob has with the angel of the Lord, who really is the Lord himself. He has this, he sends his children off in two different directions, the Bible says. And then Jacob was left alone. Jacob is all by himself. He's alone. And then a man comes and wrestles with him until the breaking of the day. I know that this is kind of a peculiar experience that he had. But it's not unlike the problems that you and I have and the circumstances we have. Because Jacob's wrestling match was, he didn't get into it very long, I don't believe, until he realized, I'm not dealing with just a man here. I'm facing an encounter with something much greater than myself. I can't deal with this on my own. As a matter of fact, in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. There was more than just a wrestling match going on. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. You see, God wrestles with us when he wants to bring us to that place that we're willing to allow God to do a real work in us. This was such a crisis time in his life, and I think that many of us have times when we have needs and problems, and we think it's all out there. It's somebody else. It's this situation. And we forget about the fact that really God is trying to work in us, in our own life. He's trying to change us and develop something in us. It says in Hosea that he wept and made supplication unto him. It didn't take him very long to realize that he was in a wrestling match with God. That he was having an encounter with the Lord. Let me tell you, God doesn't struggle with you or wrestle with you to kill you. If he wanted to, he could have killed Jacob that day very quickly. Even if it wasn't the Lord, even if it was just an angel, we know that in the scripture that angels were mighty and powerful. And matter of fact, one angel killed 180,000 of the enemies of Israel at one time. And so Jacob was no match for an angel, and he's certainly no match for God in this wrestling match. And you are not either. And the key here is for him to understand that he's holding on to the Lord, but he's weeping and he's interceding. And he's crying out to the Lord. And he's struggling with the Lord. Many times our struggles are God is wanting to change us, but we're not willing to let him change us. He's trying to make us into something he wants us to be, but we don't want that to happen. We kind of like things going along the way they are. But you know in your heart that God's wanting to change you. That he's holding on with all of his might. Hosea said he's weeping and he's praying, he's interceding with this one that's met him in the night wrestling with him. And he says to him, let me go. It's almost daybreak, but he said, no, I'm not going to let you go. I'm holding on. You see, God doesn't want to defeat you in this wrestling match, but he does want to change you. He doesn't want to destroy you, but he does want to change you. He wants to see how desperate you are. And Jacob was desperate. He knew that ahead of him was his brother Esau, and probably death, and probably his whole family and lineage being wiped out. He knew that finally, after all these years, all these things that he had done, all this deception, all this taking advantage, all of this lying, everything, he's now had to face up to the reality of who he has really been. And now, God, he's in an encounter with God. I'm telling you, I've had these kind of experiences. I remember as a young person, whenever God was dealing with me, and I had my own idea about my life and my future. I had my own plans. I kind of had it worked out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to school here. This is what's going to be in the future for me. But God had a different idea. And God worked in me. And I had several wrestling matches with the Lord. And wanting to do God's will, wanting to please the Lord, but wanting to please myself at the same time. You find yourself in this kind of a conflict, this kind of a wrestling match with the Lord, because you have your desires and your will and your heart. And God is saying, well, that's all what you want, but I want to work in your life. Let me work in you to make you into what I want you to be. I believe that Jacob was so desperate in this hour that he finally came face to face with who he was. Because now, the Lord says to him in this wrestling match, "What is your name? Who are you?" And he had to admit it. When he said, "My name is Jacob," he was saying, "That's who I am. I've been a liar. I've been a deceiver. I've been a supplanter. That's who I am." He was confessing who he was. I believe that really what God wants all of us to do is to be honest before him and admit who we are, what we are. Go ahead and admit your failures and your weaknesses. Go ahead and admit your shortcomings and all those areas of your life that are not pleasing to the Lord. He wants you to admit that to him. Because God wrestles with you only to bring about change in you. Amen. He's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. He wants to change you. He wants to make you into something, to turn your life around. Amen. Jacob's holding on to the Lord. He won't let him go. What was causing him to hold on to the Lord with all of his might? Well, it was desperation. He was desperate for God's help and for the Lord's help. He was really no match for the Lord. He would have been no match for any of the angels. He was no match, but God, in his mercy and grace, was there to change Jacob. Amen. It's of his mercies that we're not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. Amen. We don't deserve anything good from God. We don't deserve God to work in our life. We're unworthy of all of his blessings and all the good things of God. We're all unworthy of that, but God in his mercy wants to work in you and work in your life, and he wants to change you and make you into something that only he can make you into. What is your name? My name is Jacob. He finally confessed to the Lord, "This is who I am. This is what I've been all of my life. It's been my nature. It's been my character. It's been who I am. But Lord, I'm presenting it to you now in this wrestling match, in this confrontation. I'm admitting who I am. I'm coming clean before the Lord, honest with the Lord." That's what we need to do. And quit us saying Esau's my problem and all these other things are my problems. We need to be honest before the Lord and say, "No, Lord, that's not my problem. My problem is me. My problem is me." It's that guy you look at in the morning, in the mirror every morning. He's your biggest problem. And God wants to change you and make you into something that you can't even imagine, the great things that God wants to do for you. You think your plans are good? You need to lay them all down. Give it all up. Give it to the Lord and let God take your life and do with you what he wants to do with you. And it starts with coming clean, being honest before God. The old-fashioned way of describing it is praying all the way through. Just praying all the way through. Just pray until you've prayed that thing through. You've got that taken care of. Lord, no more. And the Lord said, "You're going to be no more Jacob from this day forward. You're not going to be Jacob anymore from this day forward because I am changing you. I'm going to make you into Israel. And you are now going to be in a position to have power with God and favor with men." Praise God. You understand that the greatest blessing in your life is really on the other side of your complete surrender. When you finally say, "Okay, Lord, I'll obey your voice. I'll do what you're wanting me to do." And the greatest blessing of your life comes on the other side of your willingness to humble yourself and submit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Pride keeps most of us from enjoying the favor of God, the power of God, the blessing of the Lord in our life. Our pride keeps us from entering into so much that God has for his people. Amen. See, we are not naturally prone to want to change Especially if everything is going really good in our life, we can just say, Lord, I don't need to change. I'm doing good. But you just find yourself in a crisis. You just find yourself being pursued by an Esau. You just find yourself in trouble that you can't solve the problem and you don't know what to do. Then you become in desperation and problems many times awaken us and help us to see how much that we need God. And you're not going to be able to make the changes that God wants to make in your life until you admit who you are, admit your weaknesses, your failures, your sinfulness, your nature that is not yielded to the Lord. You're not going to be able to become what God wants you to be. Amen. Praise God. God's in the business of changing you. He said, from this day forward, you're not going to be called Jacob anymore. Your name is going to be Israel, which just means prince with God. I'm going to give you power with God and favor with men. Praise God. Power with God in a relationship with the Lord whereby you have access to divine power, grace, the grace of God being poured out upon your life. And then fellowship and favor with men, the ability to be an influencer for the kingdom. Amen. That's really what God's called us to be as believers, is to be an influencer for the kingdom of God, to give us favor with men so that we can influence them, so that they'll hear the voice of the Lord. They'll respond to what God has done in your life. Jacob walked away from this experience with a limp. And he was touched in the hollow of his thigh. And from that day forward, his walk was changed. From that day forward, his walk was changed. His walk was evidence of the touch of God upon his life. As a matter of fact, not only him, but for generations, and even today, the Jews do not eat at feast time. They do not eat a certain portion of the thigh of the animal that's being sacrificed in remembrance of the touch of God upon Jacob that day. Jacob lived his life with that limp. No more Jacob. Now he's Israel. Now he has power with God. Now he has favor with man. And he leaves and he walks differently. It's obvious that he has been touched by God. Oh, praise God. That's what the Lord can do in your life. That's what the Lord can do in every person who yields themselves to the Lord. You can walk away from that encounter with the Lord and you walk differently. The world sees it's different. And your walk, your limp, I guess you could say, there's a story behind every limp. Right? Right, Chloe? Right, Esther? Any one of you? You see somebody walking around. You see sometimes old men with a cane walking around, and there's a story behind that. It might have been an injury, maybe even a wartime injury. It could have been something that's happened in their life, but there's a story behind every limp, and there's a story behind the walk that God has given to you. Amen. He's touched your life. And everywhere you go, it's obvious. I'm walking with God. And people see that. They can see the evidence of God's hand upon your life, his touch upon your life. It becomes obvious. And so Jacob leaves so transformed and changed from that encounter with the Lord. Praise God. And that's what God wants to do for many of us here today. No more Jacob. You're Israel. Now you have power with God. Now you have favor with men. Do you understand that God wants to meet you? This place, it was called Peniel, meeting God face to face. Have you had that kind of encounter? That you've met with God face to face and you've come out of that encounter changed. Praise God. Glory to God. That's revival. When you come out of that kind of an encounter with God and you're so changed and so transformed, your life has changed, your nature has changed, your character has changed, your walk is different, you're completely transformed, and that encounter with the Lord has completely turned you into a new person. Praise God. That's what God wants to do in your life today. and give you power with God and favor with men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, for every man and woman, every young person, everyone in this place today, that, Lord, right now their life is in a crisis. And they're looking around and they see all these issues and problems. But Lord, today, you're wanting to have a face-to-face encounter with them and change them and change us all into what would be pleasing to you, Lord. So I pray, Lord, for everyone in this service today and some, Lord, that they just need to hear your voice. They need the touch of God in their life. They're going on in their life without the help of God, without the touch of God, and they can receive from you in this place today. Lord, we ask you to do it. Praise God. Would you stand with me, everybody?